me to victory, beneath the cleansing blood. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one this evening. And we do give you a warm welcome in our service tonight. Let's turn in our Bibles to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. And let us read from verse 21. But my key verse tonight is where Jesus goes early in the morning to pray, verse 35. But I want to read from verse 21 down of Mark chapter 1. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, Jesus? Thou Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this what new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region round about Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew and James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and Anan they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto him. Verse 32. And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils even to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, "All men seek for thee." And he said unto them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore am I came forth." And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and he cast out devils. Let's bow our heads tonight. If you have a need tonight, just lift your hand to the Lord. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word of truth. And Lord, we've come tonight to talk about you and uplift your name again, because your name is above every other name. Father, we're gathered in your name, the name of Jesus Christ. Sanctify us, everyone, and cleanse us with the washing of the water of the word and with your precious blood. Fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I ask for the hands raised. You'll meet every need. Answer prayer, Lord, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray again for Davy West tonight. We pray that you'll give him a double portion of Holy Ghost conviction. Convict him. Lord, rid him of ideas and all this and that, and convict him of sin and unrighteousness, and bring him to the place of salvation in Jesus' precious name. Lord, we thank you tonight that you're able to see him. We pray for any others that could be laying aside sick or afflicted. We pray you'll touch them and heal them. And Father, for all of our children, convict them also and save them. Every one of them, acclaim every one. Every son, every daughter, every relative, we claim in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost right now to help me. And I thank you that you will in Jesus' name. And I pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I tell you, I was thinking this evening when I come in and reading just through this a bit. And it is wonderful. It's amazing. The miracles that Jesus done. And you know, if you take the miracles out of the Bible, you don't have a Bible no more. It's a miracle book. And then when you look at the ministry of Jesus, and if you study the ministry of Jesus, a lot of people study different men's ministries, but I suggest that we study Jesus' ministry, because that is the only ministry. There's nobody who has a ministry, it's the ministry of Jesus, and it's his ministry that's gone forward, and it has to be. And when you study his ministry, 80% of its ministry is healing. 80% of it. Now I'll tell you that's something to take thought of tonight. That 80% of the ministry of Jesus Christ is based on divine healing. And here Mark starts out, and you're only into the first chapter. And what are you reading here? You're reading about devils being cast out. And you're not reading about a wrestling match or anything like that. You're reading where he says he didn't even suffer them to speak to him when he commanded them to come out. And devils will talk out of people and they'll want to give a big this and that, but the Lord didn't even suffer them to talk. And he cast them out. And he healed the people that came to him. Many were brought to him and he healed them, and his fame went everywhere. Amen. His fame went everywhere and the Lord healed him. Now, I'm not preaching specifically healing tonight, but if you were to turn over in your Bibles, you would only have to go to verse 41 of chapter 1. And Jesus moved with compassion and put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will be thy clean. And this is a leper. And this leper came to Jesus, and he had been taught the same doctrine that most preach today. If it's your will you do it? That's what most people preach, and they even pray it. They pray, Lord, if it's your will. But Jesus, Jack Coe, I like what Jack Coe said. Jack Coe said that the Lord corrected the wrong doctrine, and he said, I will, I'll heal you. Then if you were to go down to chapter 2 and verse 3, and you read of the paralytic was healed. Right on down, the man with the palsy was healed. And right on through, and then chapter 3, controversy over the Sabbath day, because he healed on the Sabbath day. And then right up to the latter part of chapter 3, verse 15, and there's the 12, and to them 12 he gave power to heal and cast out devils. Now you're only into three chapters, you're not even into four chapters. And you see the miracles and the healing that the Lord does. But my key tonight, and what I want to talk about tonight, is verse 35. In verse 35, in the morning, rising up early, a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. Now I want to say tonight that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, and if the Lord Jesus Christ had to pray, being the only begotten Son of God, how much more we, as men and women born in sin, we need to pray. And if the Lord needs to pray, we need to pray. And I believe this is a key revelation scripture, call it what you want. It's a real fundamental truth about praying early in the morning. Now, I haven't looked all up about all the scriptures about praying early in the morning. I just want to talk about prayer. But there is lots of scriptures, and you can go into the Psalms. Psalmist David says, early will it seek you. There's many scriptures which speak to us about seeking the Lord early in the morning. Now I know most of us maybe start work early and everything, and we haven't got time to do it. But I believe we should take a bit of time and do it. Even if it's just a short prayer, even if you could call it a habit, whatever you want, but I'll tell you one thing, it's a good habit to pray. It's a good habit. There's a lot of habits we could have that's not good, but praying's a good one. And it's good to start the day with prayer. And to have that bit of time to seek the Lord before we make a move, to commit our lives to the Lord, to acknowledge the Lord in all our ways, knowing that the Bible says he will direct our paths. And the Lord Jesus himself prayed in the morning early. On the preaching day, you know what the Lord had, and we've saw it here. His preaching day was a very busy day. It was a very exciting one. Think, wouldn't you love to have traveled with him for one day? I would love to have the privilege to travel with Jesus. People talk about who they'd like to meet and all these things. I'd like to meet the Lord. He's the top of the list. Nobody else. If anyone else is at the top of your list, something's wrong. The Lord has to be at the top of the list. And look at his whole life and his ministry. And every day, he's going about preaching. He's going about healing people. He's going about casting devils out. And if the Lord casts devils out, we should cast them out. They're not worth giving a conversation till they need cast out. And he went about busy. But Jesus shortened the hours of needed sleep that he might arise early and give himself to more prayer. Even though he had a busy day, even though he was tired, he rose early to pray. Early to pray. And I tell you, I think of that. And then I think of that wee man, that wee Azusa Street man on Seymour. And the hours that man prayed, 5 hours a day. And he said to the Lord, what else can I do? And the Lord said, pray more. And he went up to 6 hours a day. But that man saw revival. Revival. Now, you know, you don't need me to tell you, but you can't even get Christians to meeting. Hardly mind the unsaved. It's a job to get the Christians to meeting. Never mind the unsaved. Because we are living in the dispensation that the Bible tells us of, that the love of many will wax cold, that there'll be a great falling away, that they'll give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We're living in the day of Matthew 24, for false Christ shall arise. And they're leading many people astray, and they're false. And people's not worried what they preach. As long as they have a wee bit of fizz and pop with them, they could preach near anything they want. But Jesus preached the truth, for he was the truth. He preached the truth. And he demonstrated it. And not only did he preach it, not only did he demonstrate it, but he gave the disciples power as well to do what he done. Amen. He gave them power to do what he done. Luke 6 verse 12 says this. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. He prayed the whole night. Now, I don't think we could do that unless the Holy Spirit really led us to do that. I believe that. God would have to lead you to do it. But there's times in our lives, maybe when God has led some people to do that. And it's not really a thing that you blow about or boast about how much you pray. But it's good to be exhorted till prayer, isn't it? Amen. But I'm telling you, he prayed all night. Now, many times we hear people saying, why does God move in Africa and he doesn't move like that here? And why does God move somewhere else and he doesn't move like that here? But then when you have to understand that some of them countries don't have the gospel very long, like what we've had it for many, many hundreds of years. Many of them countries don't have it that long. It's new to many countries. That's why Jesus said this gospel must be preached in all the world. Then shall the end come, when the gospel's preached in the whole world. But I'm telling you, in Africa, and people say, I've heard people saying that the Africans they're deceived and they're false, and there's lots of things that is false. But then what are you going to do when God said to Reinhard Bonnke? Africa will be saved, and I'm sending you to Africa. What do you do with that then? And what do you do when a prophet of God said that he's seen, like we fellas, with straws out of their ears, and he's talking about the wee machine that played his messages with the leads get in the ears, listening and preaching, and he said, we black fellas in Africa. So don't get caught up with some people in Africa that's false, because that doesn't bother me at all. I've had a lot of pastors tell me about that. But that doesn't move me, because I can show them people on their doorsteps as false. And they never name them. So tell me about somebody in Africa who's false. There's people everywhere false. But what about the ones that's real? God is people that's real. There's eagles everywhere. Amen, eagles everywhere. And there's eagles could be in places you'd never think they are, but they're eagles. And the Lord loves them. And I'm telling you, God can save them, praise God. But I'm telling you, when I went to Africa, I seen people praying that like I never seen people praying. I never seen nobody praying here like I seen them praying in Africa. And they did pray all night. They prayed the whole night. Groups of them prayed all night long. And I tell you, the power of God was in the meetings. Things were happening in the meetings because they were praying. And I'm not interested that they didn't have what we have and all these different things that people say they were desperate and they didn't have this and that. We as Christians need to make an effort to pray. Even if God's blessed us, it's great the Lord has blessed us. I wish he'd bless us more, but we still need to pray. We need to pray. And we need to seek the Lord. Isn't it amazing that the lovely Savior spent the whole night praying? All night long, he prayed. And I'll tell you, if the Lord prayed all night long, we need to pray. We certainly need to pray. Pray and prayer are used at least 25 times in connection with the Lord in brief record of his life in these four Gospels here. And his praying is mentioned in places where the words are not even used, but he is praying. But it mentions a lot of times about the Lord praying. And you know, Christ praying is one of the most important parts of his ministry. And you know, even here's the thing about it. After the Lord went back to heaven, the praying never finished. Did you ever think of this? When he went back to heaven, I'm showing you when he was here on earth how he prayed. But then I want you to think, when he went to heaven, he's still praying. And I can show you that he's still praying. Because he's our high priest. And he makes intercession for us. So he's praying for us in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? And Christ, it didn't close his death or his atoning work when he finished on the cross. He rose from the dead, ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Look at Hebrews 7. And verse 25. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, saying that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The Lord is praying for people. Now, he's talking about people here that can get saved. And he's talking about that they can get saved and that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So the people that's not even saved, but the Lord's praying. See, the Lord knows everyone that's going to come, doesn't he? It's not the beautiful thing about the Savior. He knows every single person that's going to be saved. He knows every single person that's going to come. That's real predestination for you. Now, there's no preacher, no man could say that. Well, I'll tell you, I know one. Tried it by God in that sense. But the Lord does know every single one that's going to come. And he's making intercession for them. And he's making intercession for me and you. So you see, this is the thing about it. If we say, people say, we're the bride. How many times have you heard preachers and they boast about it? Now, I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm not them. Let them do whatever way they want to work it. But we're no longer the church, we're the bride. That's what they say. And then they say, the message is not for the foolish virgin, it's not for the lost. Well, that lets me know that man hasn't the Spirit of Christ straight away. Because this scripture proves it. Read this again. Wherefore is he able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. If they come unto God by him, they have to get saved. And the Lord prays for the unsaved. Do you believe that tonight? Not only that, he died for the unsaved. He didn't die for somebody. I'm the bride. I can redeem myself. Oh, that's pure nonsense. False teaching. There's not one man could redeem a hair in his own head. Never mind a soul. Pure nonsense. Sure, if he could do it, I'd go and get them tonight. But they're away. Now, somewhere, God will have them for me, but I can't do it. And I could never save myself. I needed a Savior. And I had to acknowledge my position as a lost condition. Absolutely lost. And I had to be born again. The Spirit of God. And I tell you, people that are the real bride of Jesus Christ will have the Spirit of Christ. That's why they say Mrs. Jesus Christ. How could you be Mrs. Jesus Christ if she doesn't have the Spirit of the Lord? And another thing, we haven't had the wedding supper yet. We're waiting on it. Did you know that? There's a whole lot of them, and they've already had it. They're in the millennium. And we haven't even had a rapture yet. You see, the whole thing's mixed up. But we need to take the book the way the book comes. There's three comings of the Lord. First, he come to save us, born in the manger. And then he comes, we meet him in the air. And then we come back with him, king and queen. And I tell you, the whole thing mixed up. Aren't you glad the Lord loves sinners? He died, came to save no one but sinners. So when a man says, my message is not for them. Well, what's this message for? Because I can show any preacher that Jesus Christ said, I have come to save sinners. My message is for no one but sinners. Now that's a total, there's something wrong. Somewhere something's got in. And it's not the Holy Spirit of God. It's false teaching. Mm-hmm. But these are the things that's happening. We need the Lord. And the Lord loves a sinner. The man and woman that we might think there's no hope for, that's the man and woman the Lord can save. Aren't you glad he can do it? Think of our own selves before we're saved. Sure, there's no bigger rascal than myself. I don't need nobody to tell me that. I know that's the truth. I'm glad for the Lord's mercy, I'll tell you that. And I even talk to people still and know people that I chum with, and many of them's not here. Not just one of them, but a few of them's not here. They're gone. They're no longer here. And I think I rode them down, and I could have been down the same road. But it was God's mercy that I didn't go down that road. It was nothing to do with Tommy McKinsey had a big idea. It was the Lord. And you're here tonight because of the Lord's mercy. It was the Lord chose you, and the Lord saved you, and the Lord loves you. And you're always in God's will when you're praying for your family and children to be saved. You're in the will of God. This verse tells us Jesus is able to save us unto the uttermost. Not just from the guttermost, but you know what IWP said, from the guttermost to the uttermost. It's not wonderful. Absolute perfection in him, because he didn't just die, but he rose again from the dead. And then when we're born again as Spirit of God, we can say with Paul, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. He lives to make intercession for the saints, to pray. Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So the Lord's making intercession for us that are saved. He's praying for us. Isn't that wonderful? And many times you think, boy, nobody prayed for me. Have you ever had a thought like that? Nobody prayed for me. The devil can tell you that sometimes nobody prayed for you. And, you know, maybe somebody didn't pray for you, but the Lord prayed for you. And isn't great what the psalmist David said? The psalmist David said he encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen. But the Lord prayed. You know, if we're going to have a close fellowship with the Lord Jesus, we must spend time in prayer. We have to. You know, the closer you get to somebody, if you really love somebody, you want to spend time with them, don't you? You don't want to be far away. You want to spend time with them. And we must give ourselves to earnest, constant, persistent, overcoming praying. We must continue to be praying. And I'm preaching it to myself. I need to pray more. I know it does. I want to try and pray more. I'm not praying enough. None of us is probably praying enough. We can pray more. And the Lord wants us to pray, and the Lord wants us to seek him. And we must remember to pray in all seasons. And all seasons, things come going good, and maybe in our heads we maybe think they're not going good, but we still keep praying anyhow. God can change everything. We need to be praying. God wants us prayer intercessors. The mother, the father, all can be part of the ministry of intercession. Everybody can be part. The church, everybody. Everybody's not called to be a preacher. Everybody can't do that. But everybody can be praying. And we need people praying. Amen. The prayer is a means that God has appointed for our receiving mercy and obtaining grace to help in the time of need. Prayer is a means for that. Look at Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So when we have a time of need, we can come boldly before the Lord, and the Lord gives us grace. There's times we need grace. And the Lord can give us it, and He can give us the mercy. And He'll meet our needs. Amen. In the time of needs, God can meet our needs. These words make it clear that God's appointed a way which He seeks to obtain mercy and grace. And the way is prayer, boldness and prayer, coming boldly. Don't be afraid of praying. You say, but I can't pray as well as brother so-and-so or sister. But that's important how well you think somebody can pray. You could think maybe somebody prayed a powerful prayer and somebody could pray a wee prayer and you mightn't think much of it and it could touch somebody. There's times in these meetings when people's praying and others have been touched. Now you mightn't think that, but that's a fact. That has happened many times. Somebody's prayed and it's maybe not somebody that maybe prays much and they pray a prayer and it touches people. And they're quite blessed. Because maybe God led that person to pray something, what somebody needed, and they didn't know themselves. That's the Holy Spirit does that. He helps us to pray. Amen. And God wants us to pray. And He wants us to approach the throne of grace, the most holy place of God's presence, where Christ, our high priest, is on our behalf. Let's read from verse 14 to 15 again of Hebrews 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. So he's not just a high priest, he's a great high priest that has passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. Now pause that for a moment, and I'm going to tell you something now. There's not another priest entered heaven. That's the only one. But this great high priest was fit to enter heaven. Now them other priests couldn't enter. And they didn't enter. They were into Abraham's bosom. And then when the Lord brought them out, then they were took. But they of themselves couldn't enter till He entered. He had to enter. And He's a great high priest that's entered heaven. So we have a forerunner that's went for us. The first fruits of the resurrection of the dead, Christ. And He's entered heaven for us. Jesus, the Son of God. Here's what it said. Let us hold fast our profession. So that's when we're confessing Christ. It's not like a confession to somebody in the sense. It's a profession, a confession in Christ. We're to hold fast it. Hold fast to what you believe. Hold firm it. He's entered heaven. We have not a high priest which can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I don't think there's another priest you can read this about. They were afield somewhere, even though they were priests, even though they followed all the Levitical laws and all them things, somewhere they were afield, but Jesus never failed. And they'll point to you. Did you always hear somebody saying, "Aye, well, he's a great man, but you know what he done?" No, but they tell you. They do it with all of them. I could name you a load of men tonight, but I don't need to do it, men even in this country. Oh, he was a great man, but look what he done. But you see, look what Jesus done. He conquered death and hell. He was a great man. He's a real great man. And he had no fault. Prayer in the name of Jesus Christ is the way Jesus Christ has appointed for his disciples to obtain the fullness of joy. John 16:24, and I'm going to come to close and we're going to pray. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive it, that your joy may be full. The Lord wants us to pray. He wants us to pray. You know, when God began to move on Evan Roberts, I know you hear about the visions he had and you hear about the visitations he had, and them things are all true. But God led Evan Roberts into intercessory prayer. God really led him to pray. And then when you read of the Sky Revival, how God moved in Scotland, God led the people to pray. God led them to pray. And they began to pray and they began their prayer meetings. And you know, you could have a lot of missions and preaching and preaching and preaching, but you don't hear much today of having special prayer meetings. But back then, the Holy Spirit led them to spikes of times of prayer. And it started out as prayer times. And then prayer times broke out into revival. And God began to move. And sometimes there's no preachers or nothing there. And people were getting saved. And they're looking people to come to help the unsaved, to show them the way of salvation. God began to move. And I tell you, we need to be a people of prayer. We need to come boldly and pray and seek the Lord's face. Praise God. Let's come tonight and let's take a time and let's seek the Lord. Remember, pray for Brother John for Sunday morning for the service, and pray that the Lord will have his way in our meetings. And we need God to move. We need God to move. And I can't make anybody do anything. Only God can do that. And sure, if I could, it wouldn't work anyhow, because it would be man doing it. God has to do it. And when God gives you the desire to do something, you'll want to do it. You'll want to do it. Let's come and seek the Lord tonight. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for the ministry of Jesus Christ is still the same. Yesterday, today and forever. Your message is still the same. Your power is the same. Your presence is the same. You're unchanged. Your message is unchanged. Your power is unchanged. You're unchanged. And Lord, you promised if we call in your name, you'll answer us and show us great and mighty things that we don't even know about. Father, I ask you tonight, you'll help us to pray. Stir us. Stir our hearts. Bring every one of us into a deeper place to pray. Give us a deeper desire to pray and to seek your face. Help us, Lord, to call after you. Create a hunger within us, Lord, like this. Psalmist said, as a deer panteth after the water brooks, so my soul longeth after thee, O God. Lord, we're thirsting after you tonight. We need you, Lord Jesus. We need your presence. We need your visitation. We need the moving of your Spirit amongst us. Lord, we need you to help every one of us and move upon us, Lord. Be your power, be your anointing. Move in your own people and stir them. Stir their hearts, Lord. The life's gone by in a flash. And Lord, the time's gone so quick. And we just pray, Lord, you'll help us to redeem the time. We pray for Brother John for Sunday morning, that you'll anoint him, that you'll speak to him in the secret place and give him the words to speak and give us an ear to hear, Lord, we pray as your people. And just have your way in these meetings, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. We pray for the wives tonight that couldn't come, and the mothers, the children that couldn't come, and any brothers that couldn't come, Lord, that you'll bless them, that you'll move upon them. And we do ask you again for the backslider tonight. Speak to them, Lord. Draw near to them and move in their heart, move in their life. Bring them again into your presence and into your house and restore them and renew them in Jesus' precious name. Father, have your way upon us. Save our children. Lord, we claim every one of them, every son and every daughter, every aunt and uncle, niece and nephew, brothers, sisters, all in our family circles that's still outside of you. We ask you tonight that you'll speak to them and save them and cover them with your precious blood. Cover every one of us with your blood as we come in and go out. And Father, let the angel of the Lord be near. If you said, then camp up round about them that fear the Lord. Bless each one in this room now tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen.